This morning, I felt like God gave me something of a word for us as a congregation. So it's not so much a teaching where we're going to unpack things as a word that I believe is from the heart of God for us. One of the things I noticed with the elections that ran off for the last couple of weeks and the different campaigns of the different political parties, there's a thing that they say, if you hear a lie long enough, you start to believe that it's truth. And so you could see a lot of the political parties punting this lie over and over, really tenacious, zealous, just persistent in pushing a lie. And I was shocked at one stage, thinking, these guys know it's an outright lie. But yet, without blushing, they're just punting this lie full on. And obviously, it was the lie about don't vote for small parties because it's not going to have any effect. The land's going to be destroyed by a coalition between the ANC and EFF. Just punting this. Obviously, with our democratic system in parliament, it's not the truth. But then, obviously, the different smaller parties had to feel that they had to voice the truth. Even in our context and so on, it was important for the truth to be heard and to remind us of the truth, because if we just hear the lie the whole time, we'll start to doubt in the truth and start to believe the lie as truth. And that can happen in the church, where the enemy can subtly just bombard us with certain lies, culture changes, and come like the lie that he tells us becomes a bit more of a reality. And if we don't remind ourselves of the truth, we will start to believe the lie of the enemy as a reality for us. And I felt the Lord said, I needed to remind us of the truth this morning. So that's what I wanted to do. I want to remind us of something that we do know, but we tend to forget. See, that's what humans and even believers, I don't think it's an issue of our knowledge. It's an issue of our forgetfulness. I want to remind us of a truth. And that's that we have a freedom in Christ Jesus. We have a freedom in Christ Jesus. And I want to unpack, how does that look practically for us? John, you can put that PowerPoint on. How does that look for us in this season? And by doing so, I want to disarm a lie. Then I want to call us to greater responsibility this morning. And I want to encourage us to mourn God. So that's the aim of this message this morning. A culture of freedom. Now, I saw on News 24, Cyril Ramaphosa, he made the statement that it's clear after the elections that freedom does reign in South Africa. Interesting statement. And that begs the question, is there something like true freedom? Because his picture of freedom is definitely not my picture of freedom. But according to him, freedom reigns in South Africa. So what is true freedom? What is true freedom? And hopefully we'll get some clarity on that as we unpack this during the course of the morning. But one of the things that we see in freedom, or if we look and unpack freedom, is that on this side of eternity, God has given us a free will. So that's one thing that we do have, and that's in this side of eternity, that's something that we have freedom in, is our freedom to choose. And as we sit here, we can choose to obey God, or we can choose to disobey God. But God has given us a free will. We can choose to believe a lie, or we can choose to resist a lie of the enemy. And the lie I want to disarm this morning is a lie that says that the ways of the Lord is burdensome. Because if I look at the church today, and to be honest, if I look at us as a congregation, it would seem that we are living, or at least by the look of it, is that we're living sometimes a life more of bondage than a life of freedom in Christ. And that's why I want to remind us, because that shows to me that we've been settling, believing certain lies of the enemy. And I trust this morning that something of that will break, and that we would walk in the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Because we do have, and it's an exceptional freedom. The cross has spoken the final work. And I remind us of the work of the cross this morning. I'm so thankful that we sang that, and just how Greg led us there at the end, and just proclaiming what Christ has done and who He is. Because we do have freedom in Christ. He has set us free. John, back on your seat. That is working. Just click on the PowerPoint. You can my drug then. All dressed up and nowhere to go. Cool. We're going to get back to that. It's back and now. Yeah, come on, click for my word. Otherwise, here we go. So John 8 verse 36 says, if the Son has set us free, you will be free indeed. And that's the truth for us as believers. If the Son has set us free, we are free indeed. We don't always live free. We've all seen the movie. Most of us have seen that movie from William Wilberforce. They might take our lives, but they will never take our freedom. But it looks like the enemy is taking our freedom. And I want to remind us and call us to walk in this. Because when Christ died on the cross and he rose again, he did set us free from sickness. The bondage of it, the weight of that. He did set us free of mental health issues. At least the weight of it and the bondage thereof. He did set us free of selfishness. He did set us free of lovelessness. He did set us free of hopelessness. He did set us free of worry, of anxiety, of stress. He did set us free. And if he has set us free, we will be free indeed. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And that's why I want to remind us, because it seems like we've believed the subtle lie that the ways of the Lord are burdensome. And I want to tell you, the ways of the Lord, it's hard. It really is hard, but it's not burdensome. So Scripture says in 1 John, for the ways of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, is not burdensome. It is not burdensome in 1 John. And so if we feel that what the Lord expects of us feels burdensome, then we've believed a lie, because the Scripture says it is not burdensome. And I want to remind us of that, because many times when we're busy with life and we're doing things and we know that the Lord expects us to forgive someone, it feels like no, it feels like such a weight to actually release someone and give someone the gift they don't deserve, but yet I received the gift I didn't deserve, but yet it failed to do that. It just feels like a burden. To go and help someone in need. Oh, my time, this feels like a burden. But once you do it, you experience something of the wide expanse that we have in God. But that initial lies feels burdensome. Do not neglect the gathering of the saints. That feels burdensome. But I tell you, Scripture says do not neglect. And when you actually give yourself, even if it's at a cost, there's something of the wide expanse that you experience as you give yourselves to the ways of the Lord. A couple of weeks ago, Richard from the Sunningdale congregation just spoke about us as a body, how we are to fellowship with one another, partner with one another, walk with one another, and deal with offenses quickly. We've been set free from unforgiveness. I met, had a wonderful opportunity to meet with Pastor, my youth pastor, when I was a teenager. when I was a teenager, and just sat with him. He leads a congregation in AFM congregation in Durbanville. Just wonderful to connect with him. And he made this comment, because he's recently taken over the AFM church there. And he said to some extent he's enjoying what he's doing, but it's not what he pictured he's going to do. And he said the one thing that he noticed over the years is that the church has lost its ability to forgive one another. And he's running around trying to fix fires and sort out issues where actually we've been set free from that. And it should be the easiest, quickest thing. Not the easiest, but it should be the quickest knee-jerk reaction for us. If someone does us harm, If someone does, sometimes people do stuff, they don't even know where they do it. Our responsibility, my responsibility as a believer, as a freed son of the living God, to forgive. I've been set free from unforgiveness, and I've been set free to forgive. And there's been a call of that. And the reason why I'm mentioning it again is because there's been a number of issues popping up. I'm thinking, didn't we listen to the word of the Lord? You know? Have we not heard? And some people might not have been in that meeting, and obviously you can claim ignorance, but it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible, and we can't claim ignorance. The ways of the Lord aren't burdensome. It feels difficult at times, but it's not burdensome. And we've been set free from the bondage of sin and unforgiveness. We've been set free from that. And not only been set free, but we've also set free to explore the vastness of who God is and the vastness of His ways. It's a wide open space. It's a wide open space. Apparently, there in Africa, there's a lot of Americans trying to get animals for the zoos up there. And in one part of Africa, southern part of Africa, there's a ring-tailed monkey. And the Americans, can you believe it? They're struggling to catch those ring-tailed monkeys. And they can't make their zoos great again. That one didn't take off that well. So they're struggling to get a hold of these ring-tailed monkeys. But the locals, they don't have a problem. For them, it's one of the easiest things to catch these ring-tailed monkeys. And what they found is that their favorite thing to eat is the seeds within a melon. So what they do is they make a small hole within the melon, just big enough for the monkey to put his hand through. And so when the monkey puts his hand through in the melons, he grabs hold of the seed. And when he's got the seed, the monkey can't get his hand out because he would not let go of that seed. He will not let go. And because he wants to cling to that, he's not free and he can't move. And then the locals catch the ring-tailed monkey. I think many times we live lives where we just want to cling to the stuff, the baggage that we've got, the weights and the sins that so easily entangle us. We want to cling to that, the unforgiveness, the lovelessness. We want to cling to that. And we feel stuck. We feel like we're going nowhere. And that's when things become burdensome because we've got one big burden on us. But if we let go, and we explore the freedom of Christ, we'll experience the vastness of it, the wide open space. But we need to let go. Christ not only set us free from, but He also set us free to explore the richness of His love, His goodness. We've also been set free to explore, well, let me put it this way. We've been set free from the bondage to work for our salvation. So no longer do we need to do stuff in order to gain the acceptance and the love of God. We've been set free from that. And we've been set free to do the work of our salvation, to work of our faith. So faith without works is dead. We can't do dead works. Dead works is trying to gain the acceptance and the love from our God through our works. But now I've been set free. And now because of our faith, we work. And here in Philippians 2, verse 12, it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed in my presence, now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What that essentially is saying, work out the effects of your salvation. Give yourself to the effects of your salvation. We've been set free to do this. We now belong to Him. We're acceptant. We have free access. But now we've got to work out the effects of our salvation. For it is God who works in you to will and act according to, in order to fulfill His good purpose. Just quickly want to unpack that. Normally if there's a therefore there at the beginning, it means you've got to go to what's been said early on. And then in the passage before that, it speaks about in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, didn't consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage, but He made a... The scripture goes on, He made Himself a humble servant. So He stepped down. He came low in relation, Paul says, in your relationship with one another, have that attitude, come low. Then it speaks about how Jesus lived, how Jesus became flesh. And it says, therefore, in light of that, my dear friends, obey him and work out the effects of your salvation. Free to forgive one another. And it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. John Piper explained this passage of scripture like this. Your daughter has the opportunity, let's make it your son, has the opportunity to go watch a rugby game. And afterwards, he can go with Siya Kolisi, the Springbok rugby captain. He can go out for dinner. Okay? So that's what lies ahead. That's the promise. That's the aim. That's the vision. Like the vision is there that we should live like Jesus, humble ourselves. That's the aim. That's the vision. Therefore, the dad says, therefore, put on your clothes, get yourself ready, because we're going. That's the aim. Put on your clothes. And once you put on your clothes, the four, then I will drive you to the rugby game. I'll wait there. When the rugby game is over, I'll take you to the place that you'll have dinner, and you'll have dinner with the Springbok captain. So that's basically what the scripture says. That's the aim. Now work out the fix of your salvation. Position yourself. Then God will enable you to live that out. If we cling to the seeds and the melon, we don't let go, we never position ourselves for God to do all according to his good pleasure. We've got to let go and allow God to work through us. Wilma Ray recently at a conference spoke about our consciousness. And it says it's about 99% that you've got to apply yourself and renew your mind and position yourself. And that 1% that less, God comes and he does everything. But you've got to position yourself. And that's what I want to call us to, a greater responsibility. I want to call us to a greater responsibility to own our walk with God. We do it in fellowship with one another, but we can't abdicate our responsibility to work out our own salvation. We've got to own it, and we are free to own it. No one is restricting you. You aren't restricted. You're free to own this. If you're struggling with unforgiveness or harboring offense, you've got to deal with it. Someone else can't deal with it. I really struggle with offense. I do get offended, because I think all of us do get offended. It's easy to get offended. I mean, we different people. It's really, so do I get offended? Yes. Often? Yes. But I deal quickly with it. Why? Because a couple of years back, I've settled in my heart, there's no gray area for me. If I do get offended, I've got to deal with it quickly. I've got to forgive. Even though I feel the other person is wrong, that's not the important thing. The important thing is I've got to work out the effects of my salvation. And I've got to deal with it. I'm free to do so. So I deal with it so that I can explore and live in the wide open space I have in Christ Jesus. So therefore, I deal with it quickly. Would I still go speak to the person? If need be, yes. But that's not the main thing. The main thing is I need to forgive. I need to release. I need to let go. I need to let go. Scripture reading, spending time with the Lord, it's burdensome in my day. My culture, my day, my time. I don't have time. It's burdensome. That's a lie of the enemy. And we are set free to spend time with the Lord, to be in his presence. It will look different for us at different times in our lives and different seasons of our lives, yes. But I must spend time in his presence. I recently have been walking with someone, and they've been struggling to do that. And his life looked and felt burdensome. Up until a recent point, the person has just pressed through that restriction, because we are free. He pressed through that live restriction, pressed through it, spent time in the Lord's presence, reading his Bible, and that person, it's like something lifted. It was a bit of work at the beginning, but it lifted. Why? Because he's applying himself and he's working out the effects of his salvation and he's exploring and enjoying the freedom in Christ. Galatians 5 verse 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature, rather serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. We've been set free not just to do whatever we want. That's another lie, is that you can just do now whatever you want. We're free, we have liberty. It's We're not free. Pope John Paul II, he said, lived a couple of years ago, and I think he was about three generations back, he was a pope. He said, freedom is not so that we can do whatever we want to. Freedom that comes from Christ is a freedom to do what we ought to do. So it's not a freedom to do whatever we want. Freedom is there so that we can do what we ought to do. It's a freedom to do what we ought to do. It's no restriction for what we ought to do in Christ Jesus. So we can't just do whatever. We need to do what we ought to do. What is that? To love one another. To work out our salvation. To walk it out. To explore the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. We have the right to do what we ought. And that is the freedom. That is the freedom. So what is true freedom? What is true freedom? One aspect of freedom is that we have a will to choose. We've got free will. We can choose. In Christ, we've been set free from, and we've been set free to explore, to love. We have now the right to do what we ought to do. Ought to do. I want to encourage also for us, practically as a congregation, we have freedom to explore the vastness of our God. The vastness of our God. To explore the vastness of His love. Our God is an infinite God and His love is infinite. And we have freedom to explore that. One of the things in our culture is that, and probably the world would define freedom as a very selfish, self-centered, self-destructive thing. But we can break that. I think we're celebrating Mother's Day. And probably one of the biggest marks or attributes of moms is their selflessness. You know, they've given their lives. They don't really have their own time anymore. I mean, my gift to Lizaldi today was something that she rarely gets. No. When she went to the bathroom, I told the kids, stay away. Just joking. But I've heard many times that mom says that there's this one thing they want, if they could just go to the bathroom in peace, you know, because their lives have just, it's not theirs anymore. I think that's a beautiful example as we're honoring moms to look at that and say, God has set us free from selfishness, and we can explore the great vastness of selflessness. Love one another. Be quick to forgive. Give people the gifts they don't deserve, because we've been given a gift we don't deserve. And then there's the infinite, so it's the infinite love of the God. There's the infinite power of the God, of God. The infinite fellowship. We've got fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We've got the living God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is with us. The Bible says He's come alongside us. Parakletos, with us all the way. Let's explore. We're free to explore the fellowship we have with our God. Let's explore it. We've been set free to explore it. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. Now the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the scripture goes on. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. With the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. We have freedom to explore and to gaze upon the living God. What an utter privilege. Let's explore it. Let's explore it. And let's today choose to throw off this weight and the burden that we are carrying around, the weight of despair. I want to tell you, God has made health and well-being available for us. And we'll explore different levels of it. Yes, I understand all that. But I do want to encourage you that mental health, physical sickness, mental sickness is something that you can explore freedom in and can get freedom of. Like any sickness, there's healing. And we've got to own that. We've got to believe that. And although we might walk in different measures of it in different seasons, we need to cling to this truth that there is freedom. There is freedom. Cling to that. There's freedom in Christ Jesus. Anxiety. I want to tell you, there is freedom. Does that mean you'll never feel anxious again? Never struggle with it again? No. But in that place, you can hold on to this truth that there is freedom from that. And contend. Walk it out. Walk out your salvation. Work it out. I'm going to encourage us to do this because there's no restriction to do that. When we're in that space, the lie is that you can't do it. You're restricted. But that's a lie. There's no more restriction. In that place, you can explore the goodness and the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. We can explore it. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom to cover up evil. Live as servants of God. But now that you have been set free from the sin and become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. So the question, is there truth, something like true freedom? Yes. On that side of eternity, there will be absolutely freedom. On this side of eternity, there is a yoke. There is a burden to carry. But it's no longer our yoke and our burden. It's His. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. There is certain restrictions on this side of eternity because of sin, because of evil. There is certain restrictions. But that side of eternity, there's nothing. So coming back to the first thing, do we have freedom? Yes, we do. And we have a free will to choose. Choose in such a way that you would live out the freedom you have in Christ Jesus on this side of eternity. And choose in such a way that you'll forever explore the vastness of His freedom without any restriction. So choose this morning. I want to encourage us to choose. So what is a lie we want to disarm? That the ways of the Lord is burdensome. Can we settle that that's a lie? That's a lie. Even in our relationships, our fellowship with one another, what we see in the Bible, if the Bible calls us to more, and it's the commands and the ways of the Lord, it won't be burdensome. Second one, I want to call us to greater responsibility. We each have a responsibility to walk out and work out our own salvation, the fix of our salvation. Let's own it. Let's own it. We're a multi-membered body, and the body is built up as each one does its part. Let's go for it. And then lastly, I want to encourage us to more. There's more of the love of God. There's more of the power. I want to encourage us. This, you know, if we look at the book of Acts, we see these guys sharing the gospel and signs and wonders following. They're just going all out. Let's explore that. There's no restriction for us. Let's explore that and be in step with the Holy Spirit and just see what He has in store for us. Even though you're going through a difficult time, I want to encourage you, your experience of the Lord in your time can be a blessing to someone else. Don't disqualify yourself because you're going through a difficult time. Don't disqualify yourself. But find God. There's no restriction. Even in your difficult time, there's no restriction to explore the goodness of our God. I want to set people free that's sitting in self-pity and guilt and shame and feeling you've got nothing to give. I want to tell you, you don't have anything to give, really. But in Christ, if you open that door, you can explore the vastness of God. And because of Him, you'll have something to give. Because of Him, you'll have something to give. In America, Abraham Lincoln, he abolished slavery. And he signed a bill. And he was named and known as the Great Emancipator. Is that it's a good word? Great Emancipator. And people were set free of slavery. But a large part of the slaves, especially in the South, knew about it, but they never lived as free men and women. And the danger that we have this side of eternity is that we have been emancipated, but we still live in bondage. And if you're sitting in self-pity, shame, fear, you've got nothing to give, I want to remind you this morning, because of Jesus, you do have something to give. Open the door. Don't sit in the cell with the door open. Get out of the cell and explore the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Explore the fellowship you have with the Holy Spirit. Explore the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Work out your salvation. For God is able to do according to His good pleasure. Position yourself and allow Him. I want to call us to more. I want to call us to more. Now, we live in an incredibly exciting time. You know, it's like there's a lot of things happening in the world of politics and economics and the world of itself and our culture. But we've got a God who's the Lion of Judah, the one we sang of. And we've got a freedom to run with Him this side of eternity. Let's run. Let's run. Amen.